Well, the Lord has dealt and spoken to us over the 6 weeks, and in session one, the Lord spoke to us by the Spirit about God's heart for us, and God wants us to have intimacy with Him, real intimacy, knowing Jesus. It's about knowing Jesus, and when we spend time with the Lord individually and as a body of believers, then the reality of who Jesus is and the power of the Holy Spirit starts to manifest more through our lives as we have intimacy. You know the word intimacy? Look at that word. Intimacy. Into me you see. Intimacy. Lord, into me, into my heart, my very being, into me you see. And I see into you. So that was the first session. And then the second session was the amazing power of prayer and what it does. Because everything we are looking for in our lives and as a church comes through prayer. It doesn't come through, even through teaching and preaching. That brings us to a place of maturity in the Lord and in the scriptures of who God is. But what really brings the power of God in a place and in your life is prayer. But what is prayer? When I talk about prayer, I talk more about the word fellowship. Fellowship. Two fellows in one ship. Fellowship. Because prayer has become a religious word. You know, gebed, prayer. And if you don't do it, you feel guilty. But when you think about prayer as a loving relationship, that if you don't speak to your Father, then there's no relationship, there's a broke, you understand what I'm saying, there's no connection. If you think about the word prayer more in the line of the word fellowship, kuier met die Here, gesels met jou Vader, it becomes a totally different experience. So, that we talked about the amazing power of prayer, but remember that power comes through the relationship, the intimacy with Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And session three was obedience in prayer. Depending on the Holy Spirit. Depending on the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, guys, we're going nowhere. If you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter is about actually the Holy Spirit that will reveal things to you as a believer and me that you cannot grasp with your mind. You cannot understand the scriptures. You cannot know who God is. You cannot walk with Him if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Remember, He's not a power. He's a person. Holy Spirit is a person. Right now, He's here. In an amazing way, He's in you, and He's also in the building, and He's in me. But it's a person. And if you build your relationship with the Holy Spirit, not just with Jesus, He will reveal the Father to you. So the Holy Spirit, the importance of obedience in prayer, being led by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. Then session four was the Word of God and prayer. How important it is to learn how to pray Scripture. How to use this book that the Lord has given us on earth in your prayer life, in intercession. When we come together as believers, that our Bibles are open. And His word die blad sy wat bly, because people are getting scriptures from the Holy Spirit to pray into that situation. And we talked about, when we start to also include the Bible verses, scriptures in our prayers, two major things happen. You start to pray the will of God. You start to pray the perfect will of God. Your mind and your opinions are not in your prayers anymore. You're praying the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, your prayers will be answered. The church's prayers will be answered. Secondly, when you pray the word of God, we saw, is that God listens to His word. His word. And His word will not return void or empty back to Him, but it will accomplish what He has sent His word for. That's what happens also, secondly. And thirdly, when you pray the word, angels are listening and hearkening to the voice, to the word of God. And angels come into operation, into your situation, or in any situation in the church, angels are dispatched because they just heard the word of God and they must obey the word. So angels are fighting on your behalf. So that's the importance of the word of God in prayer. Then session 5 was why prayer matters. Why does it matter so much? And I think we've just heard, just with my brief summary of the sessions. Guys, if everything you need and you desire, I'm talking about relational wise with the Lord, not Lord give me the nicest car and the nicest shoes, that's earthly stuff, it's all going to pass away. I'm talking about the real stuff that will last for eternity. If the only way you can receive that from heaven to earth is through the channel of prayer, then we know how much prayer matters. If we want a major transformation of the church and everything that entails, alles wat julle begeer en so vaar, moet die Here wil julle sien moet gebeur, hoe Jesus se naam vir Here wil, and how people get saved, and how people get delivered, and how people from the street come and they just get changed, and you know the power of God, the presence of God. If the only way that will come down to earth is through the channel of prayer, how important is it? Much more than just opening a meeting and ending a meeting. You guys understand what I'm saying? Amen. None of us here will be able to live one day without your cell phone. I'm not with you. You can barely survive. Some people barely survive for 5 minutes checking their phone. If we treat prayer as we treat our cell phone, what will happen in our lives? If it becomes as important as your cell phone. That's how important and even much more it is than your cell phone. Okay? So, and then now we're going to finish with session six. That is, you will see on the screen before we start, it says, creating a prayer ministry in your church. Creating a prayer ministry in your church. Or how to let the church, the shofar body of believers, become a house of prayer. And how it looks like. So it's 20 minutes and 20 seconds. So we're going to watch some sessions, clips. Then I'm going to ask the sound people just to pause. I'm going to say something and then we carry on. So let's start with session six, the last one. Thank you, guys.
I'm standing here in the band pit of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. And right up there is where Carol directs the 285 voices that make up the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. They bless the church here. Every single Sunday they sing. They've won 6 Grammy Awards, which is quite an honor. And Carol writes a lot of the music and many times brings the songs to me first at home and says, Jim, I'm writing this song. What do you think about it? How does this sound to you? And I notice as I see these songs kind of find their own identity and as they're constructed by Carol and changed and modified, that the key is the right chord in the right spot and the right changes of those chords. So you know what a chord is. It's not just one note. But it is a bunch of notes put together. There's a chord, a simple one because I can't play. And notice that this chord just doesn't have one note. You can't say the chord is that note. No, it's that note and that note and that note and that note. And that's what makes it beautiful. I've many times likened that to the ministry of the Christian church. And we as leaders and as pastors, we need to find through God and Him helping us how to hit all the notes of the chord that will make our ministries most effective. Oftentimes we have churches that are one note churches or two note churches. It's praise and worship. It's just every meeting, the central thing is praise and worship, praise and worship. Other churches are, no, we're not going to focus so much on worshiping and praising the Lord. We're into teaching. We want to get deep in the Word. So they hit that note. But no single note makes that chord, nor does that note fulfill what the Scripture tells us, especially in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, that God wants us to be doing as leaders. We've got to find a way to hit all the notes of that chord and especially recover the missing note of prayer. That's the missing note in most churches. There's not a prayer meeting or a prayer ministry. There's not an atmosphere of prayer. And that missing note affects the other notes because it's through prayer that everything else we do is empowered. So we want to take some time now to discuss how can we recover through God the missing note of prayer.
Amen. Pause. Thank you. The missing note of prayer. I call it the base note, the grounding note, the foundational note. So all the notes of teaching the word and ministry for the sick and outreach programs and children ministry and everything that happens is part of the note. But I can't go to the guitar now, but if you go to the keyboard or the guitar, you will also find that the notes are nice, all those notes. But if you don't have the bass note, the top six string or the bass note, the note is not complete. It's not complete. There's something missing. Years ago, I was in a rock band, and everybody who's been in a band knows this as well. You can have a very good drummer. You can have a very good lead guitarist and singers. But if you don't have a bass guitar player, there's nothing going on. You know, it's those guys who stand like this. That's all they do normally, you know. If you don't have a bass guitarist, then the sound is not complete. The sound and the note that completes a church and even your life, but let's talk about a church that completes it, is the bass note of prayer. If that, it carries everything. So the bass actually carries the notes in music. And prayer, and the atmosphere of prayer, but not just on Sundays. From Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, like this church, they're just going on right through the week. And then they have a prayer explosion on a Sunday. There's an explosion on Tuesday evening with thousands of people, you will see it. But on Sunday morning, it just goes over into the gathering. So the atmosphere when people come into their services or their meetings, when people walk into the building before there's the preaching of the word or whatever they're going to do that morning, as people walk into the building, they sense the presence of the Lord. People go forward for prayer before the service, and people are ready to pray for them. People sit where you guys are sitting with their Bibles open, praying and reading the scriptures and in groups praying together before the service. But the auditorium is filled already with thousands of people before the service, guys, because the prayer that's been going on so much during the week and over the years in the auditorium before they start the main gathering has brought the presence, the bass note of the Lord into the very building, because the presence of the Lord will start to fill a physical place. Just as you, I mustn't move away from the camera. Just as you go to a rugby stadium, when, you know, thousands of people is on the stadium, and before the game is actually being played, before the game is played, the whole atmosphere is like that. You know what I mean? Of faith and excitement of the game. Who brought that atmosphere into the stadium? Is it the chairs? Is it the lights or the sound or whatever? No, it's nothing to do with that. Is it the field? Is it the ball? No, it's the people who came with an expectancy for this game, this amazing final, South Africa versus the All Blacks. And it goes like that, the whole place, before the game. That is what is happening to this church before the main service. Why? The base note of prayer. And they've discovered that. So guys, just go quickly to your Bibles, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. But what I would love to do is I would love to give the mic to you guys so we can practically start to do this. that everything doesn't happen from the teacher here, but it's the body. So I'm going to call Peter, but you guys must be quicker. All right, Acts chapter 2, talking about the base note of prayer. Acts 2, verse 42. You guys are watching on the video or live. We are just giving over to the body now so that they can participate with the scriptures. Okay, anybody who's ready, English, anybody, and who's not shy to come, or I will go to you with a mic. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Come, Peter. You're on international TV now. Acts chapter 2, verse 42.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers.
You will find four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word. So the teaching of the word must always be in our meetings. Amen. But they also had Psalm Gekeir, four things, four pillars that gave them so much power in the early days and the miracles that happened because of that. Secondly, they fellowshiped together. They were in each other's homes. The congregation members were caring together. Part of that, thirdly, was the love meals, Holy Communion, and eating together. And the pillar number four was prayer. The base note. That's the four things that made the ex-church a powerful church. The teaching of the word of the apostles, fellowshipping together, having love feast, and part of that was the communion. On a daily basis. We see each other once a week, on a daily basis. And number four, the base note of prayer. Lastly, before we continue with the video, you know what? Listen to this question. This is very important. Listen. Do you believe in Jesus? Or do you love Jesus? There's a difference, guys. Listen. And every one of us must ask this, not just admit for myself, Ra. Spiritual leaders must ask that for themselves. Because we can become very churchy. We get used to this thing called doing church. But we have fallen out of love with Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, 2 or 3 I think, in verse 1 to 7, the Lord speaks to the church of Ephesus and he says, I commend you, you have been strong and you don't allow this and you've been doing that. The Lord commends them. But then he says, but this thing I have against you, you have lost your first love. Yet you lived with my verloor. You are singing songs, you are even leading worship. You know, my brother, me and you, we can lead worship and not love Jesus. We fall out of love, we go into performance. I'm telling you, it's dangerous stuff. It can happen to you like that. So listen, ask yourself this question, right there where you sit. Do you at this moment just believe in Jesus, or do you love him? Now, how do you know if you love him? You can know if you love Jesus. You can it. You can yourself teach of your belief it. Two things. Just two things. You love Jesus if you obey his commands. John chapter 14, verse 15 and verse 22 to 24. He says, those who love me will obey my instructions. When you read the Bible and you find instruction, you will start to live that and obey it by the power of the Spirit. Number one, that's how you know you love Jesus. You start to obey him. And secondly, is the base note. If you love Jesus, you will love talking to him. You will love, leave the word prayer, you will love to fellowship with him. If a church loves Jesus, not believe in Jesus, because the devil also believes in Jesus, did you know that? Those of you who didn't know, the devil is a believer. Woo! What are you saying now? It's scriptural. I can give you the scripture for that as well. It's in James chapter 2, verse, just go and check it out. It says, and the demons also believe and they shudder. Listen, Satan, demons, believe in Jesus. But you know what's the difference? They don't love him. They don't love Jesus. They believe in him, but they don't love him. That's your question. Do you believe, my brother, in Jesus? Or do you love him? And now he's going to go into the session, you will see, talking about. So if you want to know if a church, a body of believers, 50, 500, or 5,000, or 50,000 seat a church, If you want to know if those people love Jesus, it is measured by the level of the prayer ministry in that church, not the miracles and the numbers and the conferences, and nothing of all those things, not the programs. It's measured by the level when people come into that place or any meeting that they're having in the week. They come into the presence of believers who they can sense love to talk to God individually and corporately. Let's watch further.
As I travel around the country and world, I end up in a lot of pastors' conferences, and during the Q&A sessions, it's almost a guarantee that there'll be questions like this. How can I see my church change to become a house of prayer? How can my staff develop an atmosphere of prayer? Pastor Cimbala, Brother Jim, we're missing out on prayer. And there's these great promises in the Bible about what God does when his people pray. The church was born in a prayer meeting, and yet we have teaching, we have music, we'll even charge money for gospel concerts and people will come. But if I called a prayer meeting, pastors have told me privately, if I called a prayer meeting, I wouldn't even have 50 people show up. Let's just discuss that for a second. The prayer meeting is really a very excellent barometer of the spiritual maturity of any given church. That's just a matter of fact. You can tell how popular the church is by who comes on Sunday morning, and how popular the pastor or guest speaker is by who comes on Sunday night or for a special meeting. But you can really find out how much the people really know God and love Jesus by who would come just to wait on the Lord in prayer. That's backed up, of course, by all kinds of scripture. The New Testament church continued not only the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and fellowship, but in prayers. It was born in prayer, nurtured in prayer. The history of every revival is prayer preceding it, prayer maintaining it. So we as leaders, we can't dance with ourselves and go into a state of denial. If the people don't want to pray, have no appetite for waiting on God and spending time in God's presence, then that's an indictment of our ministry. That's an indictment of our sermons. We might be eloquent, we might be entertaining, but some connection is not being made. We need to become houses of prayer. Jesus said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." So how does this happen? What changes do we have to make? Well, first of all, the leadership has to be convinced that this is a main priority in the spiritual life of the church. If the pastor or leader of the body isn't for let's grow in prayer, let's learn new things about prayer, then just by giving orders or by structuring new meetings, it'll never be accomplished. In our Tuesday night prayer meeting, I am always here unless I'm out of town or out of the country, because I need to pray more than anybody else in the church, because I have the most responsibility on me. So you and I as leaders, we have to be convinced, because then there'll be a moral authority and there'll be a spiritual fragrance in our own lives. Wow, the pastor wants to reach a new dimension in prayer. Without that, we're not going to make much progress, like priests, like people. But how do we make changes? Our churches are so different, and let me just say right here that the Brooklyn Tabernacle is not a model for anyone. If we can inspire people to pray, and our own prayer meeting and our own experiences in prayer can be a blessing, that's great. But you can't copy what another church is doing when it comes to prayer, because we're all in a different spiritual condition. Remember, Pastor, when Jesus wrote those seven letters to the churches in Revelation, you cannot take those letters and switch them around, because Jesus knew the spiritual temperature and condition of each of those churches. And the message was exactly to meet the need and the challenge of the spiritual condition of that church. So it is with us. Some of us might be in the fifth grade as it comes to prayer. Some others are starting in kindergarten. Others might have be in high school somewhere and growing in grace and growing in understanding the value of prayer and the practice of it. So what we can't do is model ourselves after someone else, because what's more important is, Lord, what's the next step for me, for you, given your personality, the spiritual climate in your church? What's the next step that God has to show you so that your church, your ministry can become more of a house of prayer? And of course, great things are going to happen, because always when God's people pray, God is going to begin to pour out fresh grace and blessing upon his people. We have a staff meeting every Tuesday where we gather and we pray with the staff for about an hour. We find that's very important. In fact, we have a saying here, the church or the staff that prays together stays together. You can teach unity till you're blue in the face, but there's something about praying and melting before God's presence and being broken in his presence and understanding our common need of God's grace that melts people together. Many people feel like, I need to start a prayer meeting. We don't have one in our church. And let me say a few comments about that from my own experience. Some churches are ready for a prayer meeting, but I have found other pastors get a double defeat when they started a prayer meeting. The spiritual climate of their church was such that the people had no appetite for prayer. So they got all rambunctious about it and energized. We're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to have a prayer meeting. A handful of people came to the first one, dwindled to less in the succeeding ones, and the next thing you know, the pastor feels doubly defeated. Here he tried to energize the church to pray, and they neither prayed nor could the meeting even be maintained. What I would like to suggest is that we as leaders need to start to preach more sermons and have a little bit more teaching about the promises that are found in God's word as it relates to prayer. You can do this in many ways. There's the teaching of Jesus. There's the examples of the Old Testament armies of God. When they went out to fight the enemy, they would pray. And whenever they called on the Lord, God would draw near and give them the victory. But more preaching can create not only an appetite for prayer, but it'll start to build faith so that the people won't be feeling, oh, I've got to pray. Oh, we have to pray. No, it's we can pray. God has promised to be listening for our prayers. And as we lift our petitions to him, he stands ready to help us. So it's a privilege of prayer, not a duty of prayer. Pastor, leader, people will never pray in a strong way because they ought to. There has to be an appetizing, drawing something about prayer that will keep them at it. And we all know that from our own lives. You don't pray because you ought to pray. You pray because the Holy Spirit makes alive the tremendous potential in prayer. Another thing beside preaching more on Sundays about prayer, or maybe in a special series, is giving more time in the Sunday service to prayer. In too many of our churches, we've become nothing more than a lecture series. We give truth about God's word, we give theological constructs to the people, and then we dismiss them and they're to go home and digest it all. You know, leaders, pastors, if preaching alone would have done it, we would have done it a long time ago. There's no shortage of clever speakers and good expositors, but I think we would all agree, if we want to see more souls get saved, more water baptisms, not just people switching from one church to another. The angels don't rejoice when somebody leaves First Baptist to go to First Presbyterian. The angels rejoice when a sinner repents, when someone who doesn't know the Lord turns toward Christ. If we're going to see that kind of conviction of sin and blessing on our ministry, there's going to have to be a new atmosphere of prayer in our lives personally and in the life of our church. So the idea of preaching a little shorter and leaving time for people to pray can be very beneficial. First of all, people can act on what was preached. Again, many times we're just disseminating information which people take home and forget before Tuesday rolls around. This way they can act on it. Was the message about repentance? Let them come forward and pray and repent. Was it about letting go of a spirit of bitterness? Let those who are battling with unresolved things like that come forward and have a season of prayer. We shouldn't rob it from the praise and worship necessarily, but find some way to leave a little extra time at the end of the service to pray so that that spirit of prayer can begin to gain momentum in our services.
Awesome. Thank you. Are you guys blessed?
Awesome.
Are you guys blessed by what you are seeing and hearing?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Prayer is the spiritual barometer of the real maturity level of a church and the indication of the love level and passion for the Lord within that church. Prayer is the thermostat of a church. If I'm correct, the thermostat determines temperature. Am I right? Yeah, it determines. Not the thermometer. The thermostat determines the temperature of a place or a room. Prayer, corporate prayer, giving people opportunity to pray, I think it's an excellent idea, Alistair. A very practical idea that will start immediately a difference is the involvement in the main gathering on Sunday for people to pray. I think that's a wonderful way. But prayer will start to change the atmosphere of the gathering and bring the Lord's presence in a more tangible way. People will experience it. So that's just a wonderful, beautiful thing. I'm going to stop here because I wrote some other stuff, but I'm going to stop here because I can sense this is enough. John chapter 15. If you read John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And then Jesus says these words. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Want sonder my kan julle niks doen nie. It is amazing how we try to do things without Jesus. Because we think, because we believe in him, we can do stuff. That's not the way it goes. That's not the way the cookie crumbles. It's by spending time with him in intimacy. Personally, in the week, in your own life, and then coming together. And when we do that together, then Jesus says, doesn't he say, where two or more on earth does what? Just come together. He says, where two or more, I am there in their midst. But he says, if two agree, prayer, fellowship, touching anything, it will be done for them. When people come together in prayer, and they agree, if it's you guys there coming forward or the mic, you say, I want to pray something, I go and I take the mic. That's what they do in the church there as well, and other places that I know. There's a runner, they call him a runner. And this guy, or there are two guys, if it's a big church. And if you want to pray, and then the guy runs with the mic and you pray and everybody hears it. We're to agree, Jesus manifests himself. Now listen, there's a difference when Jesus is in our midst by faith. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, God, is here right now. He can appear like that in physical form now. But when there's prayer, Jesus starts to manifest himself. Now, it's not going to... Okay, let me show you on the video because I wanted to go there. Let me show you what that means. When we are together like this, and we believe in Jesus, he is in our midst right now. Okay, here I am, look. I'm here. You are there. Brendan, it's Brendan.
Yeah.
It's Brendan. You are here. Alistair, you are here. You guys, I can see you and you are here. But you guys are not manifesting yourself. You didn't say something. You didn't do something. You are just here. That's Jesus when we come together. When we start to pray and we start to agree and God starts to listen and react on our prayers, Jesus, Holy Spirit, will start to manifest himself. How does that look like? I'm going to manifest myself now. This is different from just being there. I just got up, everybody takes notice. There's a movement, that guy is moving on the stage. Jesus will start to speak in ailments, prophecy. Jesus will start to heal in ailments. He will start to manifest himself through prayer. Not just be in ailments. Do you understand the difference? Amen. Not just be in our presence, but manifest himself. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit comes in the atmosphere of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. I think let's go to the end. Let's finish the end. And then we're going to give opportunity for you guys to participate, to manifest Amen. Yourself.
Awesome.
To pray what we have been sharing this morning. Thank you.
I look forward to our Tuesday night prayer meeting more than any other service during the week. Yeah, I usually bring a scripture teaching, but sometimes I don't at all. There's just such a spirit of prayer. The people don't need any special focusing on a truth, although sometimes it's good to just plant some new promises before them about what God says he'll do when people pray. But these Tuesday nights are wonderful for me because I feel my own need of the Lord's help and grace probably more than anyone else who gathers on Tuesday. The responsibilities God has given me here at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, going out to preach in places where I don't know what to speak on. And let me just sidetrack a little bit and talk about that. Pastors, leaders, it's not good for us if we just mechanically decide without prayer what we're going to speak on and pick series just to fill in the calendar. You know, God knows the temperature, as I was saying, of every church, your church, my church. He also knows, the Holy Spirit knows, what Satan is planning and how he's working underground among the people in our congregations. As we seek the Lord and pray, God can give us the right message at the right time. I find when I go out to speak at conferences or other churches, I need to spend time with the Lord to find out, what should I speak on? What's the word that Jesus would give from that pulpit that night? He would know exactly what the people need to hear, but I don't. I've never been to that place before. Should I just rework some sermon that, quote, worked in my own church? That's not good. It can tend toward a performance-oriented ministry. No, I don't want to leave a great impression with them. I want to be a blessing to them and give the word from God's word that is most needed at that moment. That's not going to happen, pastor, leader, unless you and I spend time with the Lord. So there's another thing that I need to pray about, you need to pray about. What sermon, Lord, at what time, so that I can be in sync with what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. These Tuesday night prayer meetings not only are my favorite services, but I have a lot of sacred memories that go along with these Tuesday night meetings. Many, many years ago, in the late 80s, in a Tuesday night, my wife and I were coming to the end of a 2.5 year long nightmare, a long dark tunnel that didn't seem to have any light at the end of it. Our oldest girl, Chrissy, was away from the Lord, away from us, away from our house for a long period of time. Some nights we didn't even know where she was. And you being a leader, being a parent, a dad, a mom, you know how that feels. Well, the Lord had led me to understand that I couldn't control her, I couldn't buy her off. He would have to do the work, and he would do it as I just trusted him along with Carol and others in prayer. On a Tuesday night in that prayer meeting that I'm recollecting right now, a strange thing happened. A woman in the back who was sensitive to the Lord sent up a note to me in the middle of the meeting and said, I feel like we should pray again for your daughter tonight. I feel like we should pray. And I saw the note, the people were praying about something else. And I asked the Lord, God, is this in your plan for this meeting? Because we try to stay unstructured in our prayer meetings and be very spirit-led as God helps me. And I asked the Lord, should we stop and make myself, my family, the focus? I felt a freedom to do that. I had one of my associates pray. And that church that Tuesday night turned into a labor room. I told the people that my daughter didn't know up from down and black from white. She was totally deceived and rebellious and hard as rock. And they began to pray. You know, it moves me even to this day just to remember that, how they prayed and fought for my daughter in prayer. And that's totally scriptural. This is not emotionalism or fanaticism. Paul says, as you know, I travail like a mother giving birth till Christ be formed in you. Prayer is a very gutsy, heart-centered thing. And they prayed and prayed. And I came home and told my wife, Carol, if there's a God in heaven, Chrissy's coming back, because something happened. Something was broken. There was a breakthrough in prayer that night that was amazing. I could sense it. And sure enough, it was just about the next morning when Chrissy appeared on our doorstep. I hadn't seen her for 4 months. She was broken. God had visited her in the middle of the night, the same night the church had prayed, and our daughter was restored to us. And now she's in Chicago, the wife of a pastor with a great church, three beautiful children, with a lot of the special gifting that my wife has, very musical, a good speaker too. That happened as a result of concentrated prayer, me holding on to God's promises along with Carol and others. But that Tuesday night tipped the scales and we saw a breakthrough. And when the church heard about that, like it'll happen in your church, in your group, when God answers prayer like that in a signal way, it becomes a tremendous encouragement to the entire body. God stepped out again in answer to our prayers and stretched out his hand and brought a deliverance, or brought an answer to prayer, or healed somebody, or brought back a wayward child. One last thought. Wayward children is such a vulnerable area for so many people. I've noticed when I've traveled about that people who are kind of crusty and dry in their faith and not very spiritually minded, one vulnerable area they have is they're concerned about their children. So if you talk about God's power as we intercede to bring back the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, you can see people kind of tilt and begin to open up to the Lord, because they might not have the grace to pray for the Sudan. They might not even understand what revival is, but they know about their daughter. They know about their son. They know about another family member. And as we present that to them as God being the only answer, it can be a tremendous help in energizing people to get to the throne of grace and start to believe God for those things that only he can do. So, Pastor, the leader, to sum up all that we've been talking about, we need a new atmosphere of prayer in our churches. I feel my own need. And I pray that anyone who watches this will be inspired to seek the Lord in a new way. We, the Brooklyn Tabernacle, we have not arrived to the place where God wants us as a house of prayer. But we want to learn. We want to pursue the Lord. We want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you'll take these truths and apply them in your local situation with the guidance and help of the Holy Spirit. So you're not copying someone else, but you're finding God's path for you, so that your church, your ministry, can be blessed by becoming a house of prayer.
I trust that you guys have been blessed and empowered, motivated, inspired. What is the potential for Shofar regarding the Lord's house of prayer? I want to ask a brother on the guitar.
Boots and all.
Boots, just come and play those notes. Not a song, don't play a song. Those filling notes. You know, just the background. That's nice, the filling notes. And please remember that you don't need music to pray. We must also sometimes just don't allow the musicians to play, because if they don't play, then people don't pray. So you must learn how to be able to pray without the music. But I just feel that he can just play a bit of those notes now. And so I want to ask Alistair to come forward. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit now. To what does he want us to do now? How he wants us to do. we're gonna operate, we're gonna wait upon it. You guys join us in prayer as we just ask Holy Spirit how to finish this morning off and what is the road ahead. Because I can sense even now, thank you, Holy Spirit, that the Lord wants us, Alistair, our guys here in front, you guys, you have certain prayers in your hearts concerning this, and for sure, for the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will just drop it in your heart, what you need to say. And you just say it and you just pray. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this morning and for the 6 weeks together. Yes, Lord. And we ask you now, Holy Spirit, as these guys in New York call it body life service, the body life gathering, Lord, lead us now in prayer for what you want us to finish this morning and for the road ahead. But what you want to finish this morning, let that be accomplished as you guide us, as we wait upon you. As we look with our spiritual eyes, what do we see? And with our ears, what do we hear? Thank you, Father. Those of guys who can pray in the Spirit, just pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit. If you can't yet, no problem. But if you can't, start where you sit, you know. And as we just wait, and then we will go into actual prayer. We just speak to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. If there's anybody that wants to come forward, you are welcome to pray. Or you want to sit where you sit, just put up your hand so we can see it, and I will bring the mic to you. And you can just pray, because we would like to hear what you are saying.